Self kind of quickly, but really, do we trust the Word of God? Like I said, this whole Psalm 119, that's what it's about the Word of God. And the psalmist was a young psalmist that wrote this psalm. And as a young person, reading this whole psalm, you really need to read it and think about it as a young person in adolescent age, time whenever you remember back of your youth days of changing from childhood to womanhood to manhood. There's a time of transition took place in your life, and more kind of a difficult time in most of our life too, as you change from that young age, that young person, and to make that great change. A time of dependence. You're dependent on your family, depending on someone else to kind of tell you, lead you, and guide you, until a time of independence, that you begin to go out and move out on your own and make your own decisions in life. The period that you're moving through is a time, is a period that each one of us move through, is coming from childhood, as I said, to maturity in manhood or either womanhood. As we go through that season, well, the psalmist kind of ties this in. If you think back now in your life as you was coming through this childhood stage until you come to maturity, you think of the time that you might have had a short time, but it was a period. But the psalmist kind of tied this into life and how it is into our new birth. You see, when you got saved, you had a new birth. You were a baby. And you see, you had to make that change. There's a change from that old nature into that new nature. God began to let you grow. And there's so many new things whenever you was of any age when you got saved. There's so many new things that God began able to show you as you move through this period of that childhood as a Christian. Of that new birth, there's a step for maturity. And as you move through this, you have to become teachable, you know. And we're called disciples. That's what God called us. When He saved us, He called us a disciple. That means a student, that we are learners of the Word of God. We are learners of the Word of God. Now, we need mankind to help us. We need preachers. We need teachers. We need one another to help us grow along the way in life. But man teaches us, you know, we can make us learn the things that we do not know when man teaches us. But you see, more so we need the Lord's teaching. The Lord teaching makes us holy. Man teaching, we can learn things. But when the Lord teaches us, He makes us holy. And God teaches us, will give us a conviction and persuade us to enlighten us in the Word of God and the way where we should go. You see, God has given us this period of time in every one of our lives. By the time we got saved, we're moving. We got a period of time as a young Christian, no matter what age you are when you got saved. It might have 10 or 50 or what it is, but there's still a time, a period of a changing period, transitional time that we begin to put on these new things. Remember what the Word of God said, old things are passed away, become all things become new. Things new to you, just like it is as a childhood, as you begin to come in the teenage years of your life, and so many things are new, and different things has been respected of the Word of God as we change into this mature person that God has called us to be. Now, as we think about this, as we face this, all these decisions that we made in life is also the same thing we have in our spiritual life. So let's look at this verse 12, and I'll read this, and I want to read some more verses of Scripture tonight. So if you have your Bibles, you can keep opening this verse 119, and we read verse 12, because this psalmist is really asking the Lord to help him. And he says, "Blessed art thou, O Lord." And then this is a prayer of him. "Teach me thy statutes," as he bows in prayer. Lord, is this night, you know, each and every one of us, we can say we're reading God's Word, and we can bow our head and say, "Lord, teach us thy statutes and thy ways. Teach us, Lord, your word." So, Father, we thank you this night upon the precious Word of God. Lord, it's so valuable to us, Lord, and how we do not realize what you have really given us, Lord, in the Word of God. How, Father, it is the answer to all man's questions of this life and the afterlife. Each day that we live this life is a gift that you gave us. Father, you gave us this roadmap and the directions, Father, you want us to go. And you are maturing each and every one of your children as they grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this psalmist, Father, is a pattern to each and every one of our lives. And we got read the Psalms, and it says, you know, "Lord, help me. I'll be blessed, thou, O Lord, if you just be able to teach me." And we thank you, Lord, for all the teachers that you sent our way, the preachers and people that helps us. But, Father, the Holy Spirit of God, that we call upon you this night to teach us your word. Father, because that's where the truth lies, is in the word of God, through the Spirit of God, that we might see the Son of God. So we just want to thank you tonight to just open up our understanding and lighten our eyes tonight, that, Lord, we might learn a little bit more about your word and about you, because it's all about Jesus. So we want to thank you this night as we pray, Lord, to lead us and guide us and all these blessings we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. The word of God, and nothing is really forced upon us. You know, are you teachable tonight? You know, it's so easy to have someone that's teachable. A lot of us have taught classes, you know, Sunday school teachers, whatever it might be. It's so easy whenever people are teachable. Are you really a teachable person tonight? You really want to be a teachable person? Well, this first brick of the truth that we need to understand about the Word of God is we need to pray over the Word of God. Verse 12, you said, you know, he asked God to lead him and to lead us tonight. Have you ever approached the Word of God and you say, Lord, teach me thy word? Oh, Lord, I need your help, Lord, to teach me the word. So you ask God to teach us. We need to be taught from the Spirit of God. Now, if David Jeremiah was up here tonight with all of his knowledge of the Word of God, he's a great Bible teacher, and maybe each day we said, man, and we could just have David Jeremiah just explain the reading of the Bible. Maybe we could just sit down and let David Jeremiah, you know, just teach us some things about the Bible. We'll have some great understanding. But you know what the Lord says? He says, I'm the one that taught Jeremiah. He said, why don't you ask me? I mean, it'd be good for us to ask our preacher, good to ask one another to help for all this. But you see, we won't need to depend on someone else. You take your little old Bible and you get out there on your porch or in your study. You know all you need to ask God to help you. There's something there that nobody else can help you with, but God can. He's the one to help David Jeremiah. He's the one that helps me, and he's the one that helps you. Just God. I got a lot of help, I tell you, but the greatest help we have is the Word of God, because the Holy Spirit, the one that wrote it. He says, you ask me. I'm the one that teaches everybody. So as you approach the Word of God, ask the Lord to help you and to understand, because he's the one that taught all the great Bible scholars. He will teach you. In this verse 18 of this chapter, it says, open thou my eyes, that I may behold wonderful things out of thy law. Open my eyes. Now, the psalmist, you know, as he is reading the psalm, you know, they didn't have about one half of the Bible is all they had at this time, at the time that this was wrote. About one half of what we have today of the Bible. But you know what? He didn't say, you know, give me some new revelation. He didn't say, give me some new revelation. What God had already spoke was enough for this psalmist. That was all he needed, just what God already spoke. But today, you know, people's hunting for new revelations. They hunting for some new things of the God, you know. It's this new revelation. Just some new insight. Well, today God will give you insight to his word of God, but he's not going to write in a new revelation. Everything that God has to say to mankind for all eternity has already been said between the fold of the page of this Bible right here. If God will come down from glory, and Jesus Christ would stand right here in this pulpit, and he would speak to you. You know what he'd do? He'd speak the very words of God. He has nothing else to say to mankind than what have already been said in his word. There are no new revelation. But there's new insight as we begin to ask God. Oh, I had some new insight today. Do you have new insight when you begin to ask the Lord? How many years, how many times have you read a verse of scriptures? And you know, you read it over and over and over again. You hear that verse of scripture. You can quote that verse of scripture. And then one day, some new insight comes to you. You know, the road called straight, Joe. the road called straight. Oh, Paul, Saul, you know, was on the road called straight. After he was saved, he was on the straight and narrow road then. But I just remember what old Joe had told me. You know, I never thought about that, Joe. And then the insight, you see, it was no new revelation, it was already there. But then it gives us some new insight in the Word of God. Oh, how God takes the Word of God and just gives us new insight into his Word. Do you read the Bible for information, or do you read the Bible for instructions? You can have all knowledge, and I'm going to tell you, there are people that's mighty, mighty intelligent about the Word of God, I mean, they have all this information. They can quote things. Man, they can tell you this information. But you know what? The most important thing is that we read the Bible for instruction. It's for you. It's for me. It's good to have this information. It's good to have knowledge. But it's better for you to have instruction, because that's what God wants to talk to you about. So he's praying over the Word of God. That's what we need to do. As we pray over the Word of God, I am a stranger in this earth. You know, and as a stranger, we have to be careful. All through this believer's life, all through this psalm, he began to quote and begin to, you can begin to feel that he says he's a pilgrim and a stranger. And you know what? Whenever you save, you are a pilgrim and you are a stranger in this land. There's strange things that God has told you, and a strange thing that the nature of God has put in you. This world cannot understand you anymore. You know, the people ride back to by this road right now, a truck just passed by, and they don't understand why these cars are around this building this night. They don't have the slightest idea why people wants to quit and come into a place and hear God's word and be around one another tonight. They have not the slightest idea why they don't want to do that. There's some strange things in this world, because you see, they're not all of the world that you and I are if they're not saved. Now, we're saved, we're pilgrims. I know I've been to Mexico several times, that I've crossed over into Mexico. And the road signs is wrote in Spanish, and I can't read the road signs in Spanish. And, you know, I'd be lost unless I had someone else to help me with these road signs. And I don't feel at home over there in Mexico. I feel like I'm a stranger in that land. Everybody's speaking another language. I don't know what in the world they're saying. You know, you can't ask them for direction, because you can't understand what they're saying. You can't go in a store and get a Coke and give them some money and get change. You don't know what to tell them. They give you the right change. You can't talk to them. I'm a stranger in that land. They speak another language than I do. They think different than I do. Well, you see, that's exactly the way we are. Oh, Abraham, you know, Abraham, he had no permanent dwelling place. He didn't feel at home in this world. You know, that's why Jesus Christ is telling us through the Holy Spirit of God, as we read his word, don't feel at home down here. This is not your home. And yet, you know, we try so hard of all our life to make this our home. You know, we pile up and make a big old nest the best we can. You see, we make a big old nest, and we just pad that nest with all type of these things, thinking we're going to stay in this world. And we try our best to make this world our home, just like a bird making a nest for her little ones, and they're not going to stay in that nest. She'll pad that nest with her feathers and all that, make a nice, comfortable place for them birds. But them birds are not going to stay there forever. That ain't their home. They're going to fly away pretty quick. And yet, we'll just spend all of our time. How many hours a day have you spent with the Word of God? How many hours a day have you spent with God? How many hours of the day have you spent doing what you want to do, preparing yourself for this world we're living in? And God all the time is telling us, you know, this is not your home. This is not your home. None of the kingdoms down here is our home. We just got so busy. Do you get up of a morning, do you read your Bible, or I don't have time? Do you come back and eat in time before bed, do you read your Bible, or you don't have time? How long have you prayed today? How many minutes have you prayed today? How many hours have you read the Bible? How many verses and scriptures and pages have you read today? And you see, most people don't have time to even quit what they're doing of making that nest down here, to even quit and come out on Wednesday night. They don't have time to study their Sunday school lesson. They don't have time to come Sunday. Why? They're feathering that nest down here, and they're not going to be down here. They're going to be somewhere else. There's none of these kingdoms. This world is our home. And you cannot feel at home in any of these kingdoms. The kingdom of religion, we can't feel at home in the kingdom of religion of the world. We can't feel at home in the politics of this world. Why they make decisions they make? Because they're making decisions of this world. And we got thinking that our decisions are out of this world. And you can't feel at home in a material world or material kingdom, because you can't never be satisfied what you got. How much do you need, Rockefeller? You need a little bit more. That's all there is to it. Just need a little bit more. How many changes of clothing do you have? How many beds, most of our homes, do we have? How many cars do we have? How many television do we have? Just a little bit more. We got all these material things to try to make this world more comfortable. And God, all he's doing, trying to tell you, hey, it's not going to be very comfortable for you. You need to think about this other world. And so he ties this in, you know, to ourselves, to all these material things. And then he said in verse 18 again, open my eyes. You know what you need and we need? We need the insight of the Word of God to open our eyes. And we open our eyes, what happens to our heart? Our heart begins to be stirred as God opens our heart to enlightenment. And skip on down there to verse 36 of this psalmist, and it says, incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covenants. Look, Lord, he says, you know, take my heart, you know, and help me for the testimony of thy word, that I won't be covetous, that I won't want everybody else, God. I want more and more and more and more of this world. Are you really satisfied with what God has given you tonight, or you want some more? Covetous is always wants just a little bit more. Never enough, because we put our trust in these material things of this world. God, just give me a hunger for the Word of God. Have you ever prayed for that? Have you ever prayed for God to give you a hunger to read the Word of God and to study the Word of God? That's what the psalmist is doing. He's praying that God might give him a hunger and a desire to the Word of God, that your mind might be enlightened. And on down to verse 73, thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. Lord, it's you the one that made me. But give me this spiritual understanding. And did you know the spiritual understanding in the Word of God, it comes as a gift from God? Just because you're saved, it don't mean you're going to have all understanding. But God gives us this spiritual understanding as a gift from God. Ask him, God, give me more desire. Give me more hunger for the Word of God. So to start with, we pray over the Bible, ask God to teach us, to make us teachable. And he speaks to our hearts. So we pray over the Word of God. That's one of these bricks that you really need. And then we ponder over the Word of God. That means seriously meditating. The Word of God has got to get into you for you to meditate, just like a cow out grazing on grass. You can have a field full of grass. If that cow don't eat that grass, that cow can't meditate on that grass. We got an ocean of the Word of God before us. I mean, there's an ocean of plenty here for us. But you cannot meditate on the things of God and the Word of God till you get the Word of God inside you where you can meditate on it. That's what it says for us to read His Word and for us to meditate upon His Word, this great commandment. The Word of God has got to get into you for you to meditate on it. Are you willing to pay the price? Did you know there's a price to pay if you're going to study God's Word? Did you know we'll have more people willing to do the work? We're fixing to go into a new church here. You know, sometimes it's hard to find enough people to fill all the positions in our church. I'm about tired. I don't want to do this anymore. Let somebody else do it, you know, and I quit. You know why? A lot of reasons. Because you've got to pay a price to be a teacher. You've got to pay a price to be able to stand and do the work that God's called you to do. There's a price to pay. And that's the reason a lot of people don't want to do it, because there's a price to pay. Because you got to quit some of this making the nest for this world and start putting your mind in the Word of God and the Word of God in your mind. There's a price to pay for every one of us. Are you willing to pay that price, or you just ain't got time? And every one of us has got the same amount of hours, same amount of minutes, and the same amount of seconds in every day. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. That's what we need to do. Verse 15, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will meditate, he says. I will meditate. The expression of this is very personal. He says, I will. You see, the psalmist is talking back now and he's praying, I will. Will you do that? He says, I will. I will meditate on that, on this commitment. And that's verse 23. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes, in thy law, in thy commandments. Now we have this princes also sit. That means the one that settled down this world. You see, there's a world of people that settled down. They've made this world their home. This is the only home they know. The lost people, this is the only world they know. And they said they settled down there. They sit. They settled down there. And they speak against me. Now they said against it, their mind is set against it, they settle down in this world, and these people settle down and they speak against us today, and the psalmist is telling that. They speak against me. For instance, they tell us about evolution. Well, we know that God created everything, but they come along now with a creation. They speak against us today. And they tell us, you know, this world formed out of nothing. There was a big bang. And boom, and they were, when the dust settled, everything was here. A big old bang theory. Didn't take but 600 million years. It's getting older all the time, you know. You see that evolution, none of them never agrees this amount of time. It's so many billion years old getting older all the time, you can never tell how it's going to be next. But God said, I created the world. And they speak against us. They'll tell us that homosexuality, they was born that way, God made them that way, they can't help it. You need to love them just like they are. We need to love them, but not like they are because they're in their sin. But you see, they can't help it. They was born that way. They had nothing to do with it. They're just trying to find out their sexuality. They speak against us. God says, I have created male and female. They speak against us. They settle down in this world, and you see it more all the time, how more people settle down in this world. This is their world, and that's the way they think. That's the way they understand, because they're of this world. They can't understand what you and I understand, because they've never been aligned to the Word of God and the world that you and I are living in. And they say they just can't help it. They say abortion, you know, that you could just need to abort. But that's a human life. That's a human life. But thy servant meditated to thy statutes. How often he do this in verse 97. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. He don't just read one verse of scripture. You know what? He occupies himself with daily word of God. Listening to the word of God. I love the word of God, he says. In verse 127. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold. Yea, above fine gold. I love thy word above gold. You know, it's sad. The reason many of us don't know more about the word of God is because we don't have a hunger for the word of God. That's the reason that we have many problems that we have, and it's sad that we don't know more about the word of God because we don't have a hunger for the word of God. Do you have a hunger for the Word of God? It is very important in your life, but do you have a hunger for it? You know, the Word of God to the psalmist was more important than a dollar. It's more important than going out and making that living that you think you got to make. It's more important than all the money. It's a desire. He didn't desire the wealth of the world, but desired the wealth of the Word. Because one of these days, it might be in a hospital. The wealthiest person on this earth, one of these days they're going to get where all that money won't do them any good. And all the wealth of the world, they have feathered their nests with all these great things, and they sit in this nest. One of these days, the Bible says the eagle's going to stir up the nest, and those little ones are going to have to fly away. All those monies, the psalmist desired the wealth of the Word of God. The golden bricks of truth is we pray over it and we ponder the word, you know, and we plant it in our hearts. Verse 147 of the same psalmist. I prevented thy dawning of thy morning and cried, I hope in thy word. I prevented the dawning of the morning. In verse 148, this word prevented now, that verse means I anticipated it. Prolong the morning. How can you prolong the morning? Have you ever had a night that you couldn't sleep? Seemed like, you know, that's the longest night you get over. You want to go to sleep, and you go in and you just doze off a little bit, look over, and I tell you that minute hand ain't moved that far. You think it's been 4 hours, it ain't moved that far. Still real late. All night long you toss and turn. It seemed like that's a long night, ain't it? That's what the psalmist is saying. That prolonged night. We don't sleep. It just seemed like the morning is never going to come. That old sleepless night that you have. And 148, my eyes prevent the night watch, that I may meditate in thy word. Before he goes to bed, he begins to read. And I'm going to say it again. If you're too busy for the Word of God, if you're too busy for the things of God, if you're too busy for the people of God, you're too busy. That's all there is to it. We're just too busy. Gathering our nest for this world and not for the world to come. You know, and it's sad is God has put everything here on this earth that we need. He has given us the Word of God. He's given us the Spirit of God. Jesus Christ, his own Son, died on the cross, shed his blood. He's given everything to mankind that he can do for mankind. You know, it's sad that we allow Satan to rob us so much of our life here on this earth. Because we just have an appointed time to be here. And he tells us all the time, he starts on us when we're young. Oh, you got plenty of time. Where is all the young people of our church? Where's all the young people of most churches when they come and accept the Lord and they walk down? Where's most of our young adults and our young people? You know what Satan's doing on them? He's working on them. He said, you know, you got plenty of time. When you get old, like an old person, then you start doing your thing. You wait. You get old. You wait. And you wait. And you wait. And he starts telling us that. Put all things. Put all getting serious with God. You know, you got plenty of time. You got plenty of time. Wait till you get old enough. There'll be plenty of time for that. But do all the things. Get all the things. You got, you know, he'll tell you, you know, you got to make a living. He told me that same thing. You got to make a living. No, you don't have to make a living. You have to make a life. God will make you a living. But you got to make a life of Jesus Christ. And he's the one that makes a life. We get this thing so turned around. We put off this serious thing with God. And Satan robs us of so much in life because we just can't do enough for ourselves, can't get enough of this world and this nest that we're building. We pray over the Word of God, we ponder over the Word of God, and then you know we need to practice the Word of God. And that verse 167, my soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. Exceedingly, that means I get excited. My soul hath kept thy testimonies. If you find it hard to keep the things of God, God tells you to do. He says, I love them exceedingly, the things of God. What God has told you to do, do you find it's easy to do? God told you to read the Word of God. Do you find out it's easy to read the Word of God? God tells you to ponder over it. God tells you everything we need to do. Do you find it so easy to do what God said? He says, I do, because he says, I get exceedingly. I love them exceedingly. I get excited. Do you get excited, get time, come times to come to church? You know what he's saying? It's not difficult to do the things that you love. It's not difficult to do the things you love. He said, I love the Word of God, and I love the commandments of God, and it's not difficult for me to do it. You ever try to get your little boys and girls to go swimming? You ever have any problem growing up to get them to go swimming? No problem, was it? But get them to go to bed at night or get them to brush their teeth or whatever, that's when the problem comes in. But getting them to do what they enjoy to do, no problem. I don't have any problem going on vacation. Do you? Vacation time comes, do you ever get a chance to go anywhere? What a good time you have, a few days off, leave and go and be by yourself or be by your family, whatever. The people that enjoy, some one time they enjoy their work, whatever they're doing. It's no problem to enjoy the things that we like to do. Well, this psalmist tells us that you enjoy, no problem getting you to read the Word of God and do the things of God. Is there any problem? He says, I love this. I do this exceedingly. It gives me great joy. It's not difficult for me to do it. I love the Word of God. How about you? 168, the dangers of reading and studying without obeying it. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimony, for all thy ways are before me. Danger of reading and studying the Word of God without obeying it. When we do this, we read the Word of God, we fail to do what God tells us, we fail to do that, it will fail to help you. In other words, it will become harmful to you. What do you mean by that? Because it will harden you to truth. You know what God's told you to do, you won't do it, people won't do it. You know what happens to them? They get hardened to the truth of the Word of God. You know, God has told a person, well, you're saved, you don't belong to yourself. I bought you, you belong to me. Every one of us, God has said this. You're not your own. You take a saved person that is saved now tonight, and they don't want to quit, lay down and do what they're doing and come to the house of God and be with God's people. They want to do what they want to do, and you try to tell them how that you need to be in God's house, they can give you more excuse than you ever thought about it, why they're not here, why they're not going to come. Most times somebody's hurt my feelings or whatever, this, that, and the other. Isn't that right? You know, one time I preached on peanut butter. I put a jar of peanut butter down here on the table. If you're not going to come, why ain't you going to come? Well, I'm out of peanut butter. That excuse is just as good as any rest of them. If you're not going to study the Word of God, not going to read, not going to come, you're not going to do what God told you to do, well, why? Because I'm out of peanut butter. That's just as good as any other excuse you can find. But you see what it'll do? It will. When you deny this, you know that God said, don't forsake yourself to assembling together as the day cometh. You know, God's commanding us to do His Word and do His work, and we don't do it, it will harden you to truth. And you know what happens to them? They start finding excuses that they might be able to stay out and don't have to do what God's called them to do, to worship God. What happened to them? Because they are hardened to truth. And then they've got to tell you, I don't need the church. All you want me to do is pay my money. All you're getting out of I want money, money, money. That's all you do is money. Some other reason, what they're doing, they're hardening it to truth. They won't listen to the Word of God, and they have made excuses. They won't come. When we fail to obey God's revelation and fail to obey His truth, deception comes into the heart, into our mind. Did y'all know that? Deception comes. God, show me more light. No, I will not. You won't live up to the light I've already showed you. I'm not going to show you anymore. They were not going to get no further than where they are right now. They're not going to get over that hurdle. They refuse to do what God's called them to do. You're not never going to get over that hurdle. God, show me a little more. I'm not going to do it. You won't already do what I told you to do. Now, most of us, including myself, we already know more than what we're willing to do. Huh? Am I getting anybody? We already know more than what we're willing to do. How come we don't grow? Give us more insight, God. Well, you won't do what I've already told you to do. Boy, that hits me. I wonder how it hits you. You know, Mark Twain said, it's not the part of the Bible that I don't understand that bothers me. It's the part that I do understand. You already know. Does it bother you? Goodness gracious, I was going to have a word of prayer, and I've got all these precepts and these bricks here. Proclaim the Word of God. Simple principle as we practice the Word of God. Proclaim the Word of God. John 14:21 says, He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he is it that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. I will love him and will manifest myself in him. These bricks. We must proclaim what God has given us. All this comes back. God wants to use you and me as a pipeline. Not just to fill our buckets tonight. We need to be filled with the Word of God, filled with the Spirit of God, but not just to fill us, but use us as a pipeline. You got pipeline running all over your yard and in your house and all over your house. You know what it does? It brings out water wherever area that you need it at to that spigot. God wants you to be a pipeline. And anytime there's a person that needs some help, all they need to do is turn on that spigot, and we are the spigot, that pipeline, and it travels through us. The Word of God that we learned tonight should travel through you that you might be able to help someone else. God don't give us knowledge just simply for ourselves. It always helps others. He's supposed to help others with it. We are to verbalize our faith. And this verse 172, or verse 130 said, My lips have I declared all thy judgment of thy youth. Verse 172 says, My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Teach me and I will teach others. The more of the Word of God that you give away, the more will stick to your heart as we personalize the Word of God. And I got time for one more verse. I'm going to read Psalm 135, make thy face to shine upon thy servant and teach me thy statutes. Read the Bible. Read the Bible so that I may see the face of Jesus. And his face gets so clear in the Word of God that it might shine upon me. You remember, Moses went up on the mountain and he got the commandments and his face shone That's what it's talking about. Stay with the Word of God till Jesus Christ, His face revealed in His Word of God, it begins to shine upon you, and you won't have to tell people about it. They can see reflection on your countenance. Personalize the Word of God. Boy, that was a fast 30 minutes. I wanted to have a ring of prayer. We're not going to be able to do that in the time we got left. Forgive me. Forgive me. I just enjoyed this many hours a day, and I just enjoyed it. But I want us to remember, as we stand in prayer, I want us to remember the ones we call out this night, that we may be able to pray for them and their need. Jeremy, you want to put us on some soft music as we have one or two this hour? We've got time for a couple of people to lead us in prayer. And as we remember the people, if you've got somebody on your heart and your mind that you would like to be prayed for, you don't have to call their name out, but hold your hand up. God has told you to pray for this person. If anybody that you want to pray for this hour, just hold your hand up, but you ain't got to call out their name. If anybody God's called you to pray for, you got anybody on your mind that you need to pray for, you're thinking of right now? Well, that's what we're going to do. You think about this person, one or two, three or four, whatever it might be, as we fix them to have a word of prayer. We'll have maybe time for a couple of men to pray. And I'd like for you to be thinking about this person this hour as we begin to think about what God can do for us. We bow in prayer. We're going to ask Joe Chancellor.